Today on More to Life, Momfidence. We're celebrating Mother's Day weekend with tips for making momming easier. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to be.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we are celebrating Mother's Day weekend with tips for making momming easier. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're asking you, moms especially, do you have questions about, say, discipline or how to fit in self-care or how to deal with judgment or criticism from family or other moms? Maybe you're wondering how to get the support you need or get time for your spiritual life, feel less alone in your mom role, how to feel like what you're doing matters, or just to get more out of it. We want to celebrate this Mother's Day weekend by making momming a little easier, a little more joyful, a little more rewarding.
And, you know, this is a passion of my heart. That's why I started momfidence.org. You can find me over there all the time, creating a community of moms so we can support each other. And that is moms at every age and every stage. And I want to say that this is also what this particular show is about. I know for a fact that you never stop being a mom, whether your child is newly conceived or well into their lives. Once you have become somebody's mother, in any way that you've become that person's mother, it's for life. In fact, I was with a dear friend of mine last night who was one of my daughter's coaches as she was growing up, our oldest daughter's coach. And she has gone through a lot of life transitions lately. And one of the things that she has found later in life is a dearer and closer relationship with her daughter, who's now turning 40. And she's more of a mom now than she ever got to enjoy while her daughter was growing up, because life was so busy and life was so crazy. And she's more alive in her motherhood, in her, what we'd call, although this woman is not, in her quote-unquote later years, than she was as a young mom or even a mom of a teenager. This never stops. The worrying doesn't stop. The joy doesn't stop if we fertilize the ground well and we do things well. And we always need that support in that role because it's ever-changing. The minute you feel like you've got it under control, the minute you feel like, okay, I'm doing a good job, they grow up, they change phases, something else happens, and you have to start learning a new technique, a new way of doing it, a new way of relating all over again. So we are here for you today, moms, no matter what your age, no matter what your stage. Let's talk about the blessings, the joys, and the challenges of this role of ours in our lives as women, and get it all out there and make it better and richer for all of us. And boy, Greg, can I tell, it's Mother's Day. I went to the mall last night to pick something up for myself. I needed something for myself. And I rounded the parking lot for the fourth time. There were no parking spaces. And I'm like, wow, this is like Christmas. What the? And then the light bulb went on. Oh, that's why it's crowded. Mother's Day is Sunday. So we are, at the very least, giving you that PSA. If you have a mom in your life, it's Sunday. Do something about it. And if you are a mom, let's talk about that today. What's great, what's hard, and everything in between at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And once again, we're trying to make moms' lives easier today on More to Life on our show titled Momfidence as we head into Mother's Day weekend. What can we do, moms, to make your life easier? and job easier. If you have questions about discipline, fitting in self-care, what's that? Right?
It's true.
How to deal with the judgment or criticism from your family or your friends, right, who have no problem offering their opinion about all the ways that you're doing momming wrong, right?
Or you're watching them and you have no problem in your own head turning whatever they're doing into a criticism of yourself.
Oh,
because maybe if you did it the way they did, things would just be grand.
Or maybe you're just wondering how you can get more support or more time for your spiritual life, how to feel less alone, how to feel a little bit more like what you're doing really matters. Because, you know, intellectually you know that being a mom's important, but emotionally you're really not feeling it these days. Or for that matter, just how to get more out of it. Whatever your challenge is, we want to help you make your life and role a little easier. And by the way, for all you guys out there, if you're wondering how you can support your wife in being the mom she wants to be, and you are struggling with a particular challenge in that department, we are here for you, too. The show's all about making moms' lives easier, but dads have a big part to do in that, so maybe if you're looking for something to give your wife for Mother's Day, you can find ways to be more supportive by calling in at 877-573-7825.
And as we start this Mother's Day weekend with this show on Momfidence and helping you find all of that confidence that you need as a mom at any age or any stage, I do invite you to come on over every day to the Momfidence.org blog and page over there. The blog is there. There's a link to the podcast. You can also find me at Momfidence Official on Facebook and Instagram. And if you've ever thought, when you've heard me mention it here on More to Life, oh, that sounds interesting, maybe I'll go there. Today's the day to go, ladies, because today is the very last day that, well, the last day I'll be announcing. You have up till tomorrow, till Saturday. But I'm announcing today the Momfidence giveaway, which is a pretty darn good one. You can see all the details of that on Momfidence.org or Momfidence Official on Facebook or Instagram. Enter that, and on Sunday, we will be announcing on those pages who won the giveaway. We have a wonderful community growing over there, and one of the coolest things about it is that when we as women read those comments together and offer suggestions and advice and share our hearts, there's such a sharing of, yeah, we can do this, and this is what I'm good at, and maybe, you know, I'm good at this other thing, and we put our heads together there. But also the sharing of the struggles makes, I think, every single one of us feel so much less alone in knowing that there are struggles to this.
Sure.
Nobody has a child placed into their lives and says, oh, I got this. It's just perfect. I'm going to get it right today and every single day until the end of time. It doesn't work. This is a work in progress. We as moms are a work in progress, and we need the support to do it. So I've got this community over there where we can do just that. Please join us. We'll all be blessed by your joining us.
877-573-7825. Before we start taking your calls and even before we do our prayer here, I just wanted to share from the perspective of the theology of the body.
Yeah.
You know, motherhood plays a very interesting role from the perspective of the theology of the body in our reflection on what Christian discipleship is really all about. Right? The theology of the body reminds us that we are called to make an embodied response to Christ's invitation to discipleship. We don't just love him with our hearts or our minds or our souls. We love him with our strength, our body too, right? We have to ask God, how can I love with my body? How can I use my body to work for the good of others? How can I use this gift that you've given me to be a blessing to others? And in his reflection on that question of embodied discipleship, Pope St. John Paul the Great came up with the phrase, the feminine genius. And I think a lot of people throw that phrase around, but it's kind of hard to pin down what it means sometimes. But what it actually means is exactly this, that there's something about the way God created the woman's body that witnesses to that embodied self-giving, that witnesses to the fact that God made us to be a gift to others. And it's specifically in woman, he created the woman's body to be oriented toward creating life, serving life, building up life. And of course, men are called to that same kind of discipleship. But it doesn't come as biologically naturally to us.
Yes, and I have to say that often when people hear that theology of the body perspective, they assume that we simply mean conceiving and bearing and nurturing a child through, you know, feeding a child with our bodies. But this is for any woman of any state in life. I mean, we see this in our religious sisters. They can be amazing spiritual mothers. So whether you have become a biological mother, an adoptive mother, a foster mother, a spiritual mother to many, that nurturing that comes with that is something that each human person seeks. We all desperately, desperately want nurturing mothers in our lives of some ilk. I was very blessed to have a very strong, wonderful biological mother, but if I hadn't come across my spiritual mother in life who brought me back to the church, I would not nearly be the person that I am today, and I give great gratitude to that. So no matter how we use our bodies as women to be mothers to others, that is all part of the theology of our bodies.
And so the theology of the body really honors motherhood in a special way, because it is the model for that kind of embodied discipleship that Christ calls all of us to. And that is the heart of the feminine genius. Well, you know, just a little aside there, but we are talking with you today about making momming easier on this Mother's Day weekend. Give us a call with your questions about either the challenges you're facing in being a mom, or for all you dads out there, what you can do to be a better support to your mom, to your wife, excuse me, the mom of your kids.
The mom that is in your life.
877-573-7825. Let's say our concerns to the Lord in the name of the Father,
Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for loving us and calling us into communion with you. And we thank you for the gift of your mother, who is the first disciple and reminds and is the model of discipleship, the model of that fiat, that yes, that we are all men and women called to make to your invitation to deeper communion with you. In a special way, this Mother's Day weekend, we ask your blessing on all the mothers who are tuning in and all the mothers out there who are struggling in some way, and what mom isn't, to be the woman that you call her to be, to exemplify the love that comes from your heart, and to feel the love from you for embracing the work that you've given her to do. Help all the men out there to be respectful, to be more loving, to be more supportive, and to truly honor the women in their lives, so that we as men and women can create those communities of love that glorify you and witness your heart to the world. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, titled the show is Momfidence, as we celebrate Mother's Day weekend with tips for making mom's life easier. Whatever your questions are about the challenges you face in being a mom, or all you dads out there, the challenges you face in being more supportive to the mom of your kids, give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Carol, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Carol, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What can we do for you today?
My only child is graduating in a couple weeks from high school and going away to college.
Okay.
And I'm struggling with letting go and the worry I think I'm going to have because he's not going to be under our roof anymore, that he's safe, that he's doing the right thing. All of those emotions.
Okay. And how much of this is focused just on, oh my gosh, you know, he's leaving and I can't watch everything he does and protect him physically as much as I did? And how much of this is also, oh my gosh, what do I do now? Is it 50-50? Is it heavier in one side than the other? Where are you at, Carol?
Probably 50-50. Okay. It's probably good. Both of those are in my mind every day.
Okay. As a mom who's gone through this myself, because I've got a 13-year age gap, so I've got a little still in the house, I've got one that's grown enough and successful, I've got others. I get this, okay? I'm going to say that you will be amazed at how grace shows up in the moment, okay? So I remember when my oldest son, who many of our listeners remember from his time on Sacred Heart Radio, when he was going away, I just would stand at the kitchen sink and start to tear up and cry. If he walked into the room, yep. I would start to cry. That was all very much with forward thinking. Thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do, and how am I going to miss him, and you know, what's going to fill the gap of him being gone? All those questions that a mom has. But when the time actually came, you know who showed up? The Holy Spirit showed up. And in those moments of the actual leaving, the actual getting used to him not being here anymore, the actual forming a relationship with an adult instead of a child, God always showed up with his consolations in that moment. And I've had many, many girlfriends who have done the same thing. What am I going to do when they leave? And as I've gone through this and said this, it's been the same for them. It's not just for me. The same for them. When things are in their right time, it works. If we open ourselves up to God. So my one big tip for you, mom to mom here, is if you're not praying every day, if you haven't really been leaning on the Holy Spirit, this is a wonderful time to start to do this. This is an invitation for God and his Holy Spirit to start to fill you up, make you strong, and point you in the directions of what do you do now, both in your life when he's not under your roof doing, you have to do his socks every day kind of thing, and also in how you keep that relationship with him and you keep mentoring and discipling him, even though he's away.
And that's what I wanted to add to what you're saying. You said mentoring.
Yeah.
The natural tendency for any parent who's got a child who's leaving the nest, but especially moms, is to worry. And then that worry pushes us into sometimes trying to be controlling in some way, right? You know, we want to lecture. We want to do this, or have you done that, or how come you didn't do the other thing, right?
Or make sure you do this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's never received well. And that ends up putting a wedge between us and our kids. And so in this transition, rooted in that place of prayer that Lisa was just talking about, I want you to focus on mentoring. What does that mean? It begins with listening, right? Make regular time to connect with your son. You know, regular call, regular texts throughout the day. Just checking in to see how he's doing. Not checking up, right? But checking in. And giving him a safe place to land, a safe place to kind of talk to you and be that person he feels comfortable sharing stuff with. Resist the temptation to lecture, even if he's doing stuff that you don't necessarily approve of. Instead, I don't mean don't say anything. I mean don't lecture. What I mean is listen. And then ask questions. Well, have you thought about this? Or not. Have you thought about going to church on Sunday? I mean,
it's really important.
Have you thought about
to sift out?
You know, how are those choices helping you be the person that you want to be? Right? How do you think you need to respond to that in a way that would really help you feel stronger or healthier or closer to God or closer to the person that we raised you to be? Asking those questions and giving him the space to actually answer them, if not to you, then in his own mind, that's what a mentor does, right? A mentor doesn't boss and lecture and kind of criticize and, you know, say, how come you didn't? And the mentor listens and asks questions that are leading, in a sense, but lead that person to discover those truths. That's where you want to go with this, okay? Not letting the worry turn you into that lecturer, but into that mentor. And the only way to do that is, again, by beginning with rooting that relationship in prayer that Lisa was talking about.
Yes, and rooting your whole life in prayer. And that's the other part of this, Carol, is that you have to really begin talking to God all day, every day, so that he can show you all these gifts that he's given you, all these talents and strengths that he's developed in you over these 18 years of having this young man under your roof every day, what he wants you to do with those now, both in your relationship with your son, but in using those gifts in the world every day. And I know you're just going to soar, Carol.
Hey, I'm going to just really encourage you, Carol, to continue getting the support that you need over at momfidence.org and at Momfidence Official on Facebook and Instagram, because there's a great community over there of moms who are in every stage and age of motherhood. And I know that Lisa and her group would be a great, great resource for you in this transition time. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about making moms' lives easier this Mother's Day weekend on our show titled Momfidence. If you've got questions about making more, well, making your mom, making your momming easier or more joyful, or if you're a dad who's wondering how you can better support the mom of your kids, give us a call at 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, mom of 11, and developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club. She's going to be sharing with us how moms can connect with the joy of their role. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Old St. Mary's Catholic Church in Greektown in Detroit invites all to come and hear one of the world's leading authorities on sacred music and liturgy, Friday, May 10th at 7 p.m. Beginning with a traditional Latin High Mass with full choir, scholar, author, and composer Dr. Peter Kwasniewski will then give a presentation on liturgical obedience, the imitation of Christ, and the seductions of autonomy. See OldSTMarysDetroit.com. That's OldSTMarysDetroit.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare. Fully alive.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, and today we're talking about moms on this Mother's Day weekend on our show titled Momfidence. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club, mom of 11, is here to share with us how moms can connect with the joy of their role. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa.
It's great to have you with us. And, you know, when we say, you know, connecting with the joy of your role, I mean, look, the reality is it is a beautiful thing to be a parent, either a mother or a father. But sometimes it's also a lot of hard work, and sometimes it doesn't feel all that particularly joyful.
Yeah, it's a little draining sometimes. So after raising 11 kids, you're still doing that. Give us your words of wisdom on this, Rachel.
It is. It is exhausting, but I was reflecting on the fact that I've been parenting for over 30 years now. And in looking back, I realized that I didn't always give the attention to the important stuff. And I want to work on that for the next 30 years of my parenting, is I want to work even harder on being that joyful, happy family that God wants us to be, both for our benefit and for the benefit of the world, that I worry too much about the externals. And not enough on the relationships with Matthew, with my kids, with their relationship with each other. And so I want to encourage us to do that this Mother's Day weekend, is to remember that God is calling us to have joyful, happy families.
You know, the idea that God is calling us to have joyful, happy families is an encouragement to many of us, but it's a bit of a sword in the heart to a lot of moms out there who are saying, I'm going through a season, and maybe it's been for a while, where I can't find the joyful and the happy. What would you say to those moms who kind of wince when they hear you say that?
And I do. I pray for those women because I have those in my own circle of friendship and in my family. I do want to say this weekend, when you're together, hopefully as a family, see if you can recall memories. They might be from infancy. They might be from years ago. But just bubbling up some memories from way back when that can make you laugh and smile, do give you encouragement during the current dark time you're in. But if you are in a dark moment, I don't want you to be so discouraged. Remember, the God who created this whole world can certainly fix our problems, and he wants to. He wants to us to bring him in. So if you are looking at Mother's Day today with some sadness and heaviness on your heart, there is help out there. Professionals such as you guys or other resources are there to return the joy and happiness to your heart, and that God is eager to do that. It's going to take work, but I know that the times that Matt and I put work into our marriage and work into our children, the benefits and the graces and gifts that came from that hard work made it all worth it, because God is a God of love, and he wants to show his love to you through the family he gave you.
Well, I think it's so important to point out that when we let God into it, things can really happen. But as you're saying, Rachel, sometimes we just begin by letting God in, and just that grace begins to change things that are not going as well as we like, not giving us joy. But other times, that grace gives us the strength to find or to seek the answers and the skills that we don't have yet, but he's there to help us find them if we're willing to be humble and cooperate with his grace to change things. But we have to be diligent and persevering in rediscovering that joy as a family if we're not finding it right now.
Amen. Hey, Rachel, thank you so much for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. We hope you have a blessed Mother's Day weekend with your family. And, of course, if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, you can go to beholdpublications.com. That's beholdpublications.com to learn more about Little Flowers Girls Club. More to Life is going to be continuing after the break. Our show titled Mompidence, where we're making moms' lives easier this Mother's Day weekend. Stick around.
Every Sunday at the end of Mass, we are encouraged to go and announce the gospel of the Lord. But in this day and age, doing this can be challenging. Amidst so much bad news, so much division, we may be discouraged, we may be afraid, we may not know how to go forward. That's why UnleashTheGospel.org delivers inspirational videos and stories that will renew your missionary spirit and help you know where to start. Let's become joyful missionary disciples together. Visit UnleashTheGospel.org to join the mission. UnleashTheGospel.org, stories to inspire you, resources to encounter, grow, and witness.
This Mother's Day, bless the Catholic mothers in developing countries who spend hours collecting drinking water, often from unsafe sources. With your support, Cross Catholic Outreach can provide these women and their children with access to clean, safe water. Help us lift the poor's burdens, protect their health, and restore their hope. Join by calling Cross Catholic Outreach at 888-766-2426 or visit crosscatholic.org/Ave Maria.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This is Dr. Greg Popcheck. In a recent study, psychologists studied a virtue long held dear by the Catholic faith, humility. Humility isn't about negative feelings toward yourself. Rather, the study found that humility is comprised of traits such as sincerity, honesty, and thoughtfulness. But a second group of traits revealed something more about humility. That humble people are curious, bright, logical, and aware. Humble people spend time learning from other people. And isn't that what the Church has been teaching all along? That we require community to humbly arrive at holiness. Pride is an obsession with defining one's own path to fulfillment, hoarding one's gifts, and refusing to be open to learning from the experience of others. Humility, then, is the awareness that abundance can only be pursued by cooperating with others, sharing what one has with others, and learning from the experience of others. For more about developing healthy, virtuous habits that benefit your family and community, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Momfidence, as we celebrate Mother's Day weekend with tips to make momming easier. So, hey, moms, if we can help you out in getting more joy out of your role, or finding ways to do it a little bit more efficiently or in a more satisfying way, let us help you out. And for the dads out there, if you're struggling to find ways to support the mom of your kids, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Maria. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
I have three daughters, 14, 12, and 10, and I don't think I have just an issue with my oldest, but maybe it's a cultural thing that I've always tried to practice attachment parenting, and, you know, like, I still go and tuck them in at night, and they asked me to do that even at this mm-hmm. age, and we're very family-oriented in terms of not only what we do as a family, but physical affection and all that. And
okay.
I don't think I can blame that to the fact that I was just listening to Greg, you know, about the control part, and I don't know how much is in me, the mom that wants to still be attached to my kids, my girls, or it is the control part that, you know, I always joke with my husband that my job is not only being a mom, but a detective and a supervisor, because when I'm working, you know, I have to come home to check what were they looking at the computers when they are staying late doing homework. And, you know, that's my detective part. And when I'm off, I'm here supervising, what are they doing? You know, kind of making my rounds through the rooms, so that they don't go to sleep too late, and making sure they're not in their tablets. And so that has created some difficulty with my oldest, because she frequently calls me for any help with homework. Mom, I need help, to the point that it has created anxiety in her. And I was very quick to jump and help all through the middle school, and it hasn't been until this last quarter where she presented with anxiety to the point that we had to take her to a counselor because she was crying and scared of not getting good grades and things like that, that it really got on, you know, I really realized that maybe I'm not doing the right thing by, you know, helping her by being so attached to her. So it has been a real struggle for me. And even yesterday when I was listening to your podcast and, you know, realizing that I have to give him some independence at this age, in eighth grade going to high school, and for her not to rely so much on my help and, you know, immediately call me when she...
Well, let me ask you a question. Give me an example of how you help. So she asks you a question about her homework, or Maria.
Mm-hmm.
She asks you a question about her homework, or she asks you a question about, you know, whatever decision she's got to make. How do you help? How do you intervene at that point?
So I go and I sit down. I say, where is your book? Like, oh, do I need to get my book? I say, yes. I don't want you to look at the computer. Sit down. I said, what have you read? Have you read the chapter? No. I said, well, you're going to first try to read the chapter, because this is very self-explanatory and I think this is very easy to understand. Once she has read the chapter and I'm sitting in front of her for like 15 minutes, I show her the problem that she has, and she's like, I still don't get it. I'm like, look at this example. This is 2 plus 2 equals 4.
Okay.
You know, just an example.
I got you. So what's happening here, okay, and it's not the attachment that's encouraging the anxiety. It's more the style of helping in some way.
Yeah, and honestly, I want to say, Maria, that you are doing everything right in terms of the affection is absolutely necessary, the checking in and guidance, as long as you're not being
Scolding.
Thank you. That's exactly the word I was looking for about it. You know, if your daughters know, hey, I'm checking up to make sure that you're not on your tablet all night, you're actually getting sleep and things like that. And it's not scolding. It's loving. You know, it's coming along and saying, darling, you know, you have to get up and get on the bus tomorrow morning. It's time to wrap it up. Then all of that that you're doing is excellent and wonderful. But both from a maternal perspective and the perspective of a teacher, there's just a little bit of tweaking that you need to do in terms of helping with the schoolwork.
Yeah, you want to ask her questions instead of telling her. So, for example, instead of saying, you need to go get your book, you'd say, okay, well, honey, we've been through this about a billion times, so help me, let's work through this together. What's the first step?
Exactly.
What's the first thing I always ask you? I don't know. I said, well, think about it, because we've done this about three
times. Where are you going to find the information?
I have to go get my book. Good, that's right. Go get your book. Okay, now, what's the next step? What's the second thing I always ask you? I don't know. Well, don't think about it. Did I read the chapter? Yeah, that's right. Did you? No. Okay, well, go ahead and read the chapter, and then we'll talk.
And
I still don't know what to do.
You can have her read it aloud to you rather than you reading it to her or hovering over her.
But basically the idea is you ask her questions that prompt her to think through it for herself so she can come up with the answers. The problem isn't the attachment. The problem is you're giving her too many answers.
Right, and I have to say, as a teaching technique, the way she is going to learn the very best is by teaching it back to someone. And luckily she has you there, Maria, as her mom, to be that person she teaches it back to. And let's face it, Maria, when we're dealing with a 14-year-old who's dealing with, you know, algebra, pre-algebra, that kind of stuff, sometimes we're relearning this stuff from 100 years ago, and we don't remember exactly how to, you know, multiply exponents either. So really letting her teach it back to you after she's read that chapter aloud, and you look at the problem and say, teach it back to me. And if she can't find it or can't figure it out, okay, let's find a website. There are about a million YouTube videos on every single thing.
But you ask her, where can we look on the internet?
Where can we look on the internet?
What keywords should we be searching?
You're right there. So you're teaching her how to learn.
The problem right now is, okay, when she goes out, because you've been, you know, so active in coaching her through things, she's afraid to take the risk to think for herself. Okay, so by giving her that safety net where you're there, but you're asking her questions that make her do the work inside and walk her through the steps of it, that's going to help her build the confidence she needs to start making these decisions for herself. Now, she's going to fight you on this at first. She's going to work really, really super hard to try to draw. But I don't know, Mom. Why won't you just tell me? I don't know. And then she's going to freak out. And you're going to start feeling really guilty because the anxiety is going to be coming on. And you're going to feel like you're making her anxious. You're not. You're not. That's just the hard work that she has to do to start thinking for herself and processing this so she can gain the confidence that she has the ability to do it on her own.
And it's not even the ability to have that skill. It's the ability to learn how to have those skills. That's what we as moms need to teach our children, how to learn. Because once they know how to learn, the world is at their feet. They can do anything. And I want you to remember, Maria, when she's having a panic attack or she's lashing out a little bit, this is zero difference between this and what you've done before. When she was learning to walk as a baby and you had to have her let go of your fingers and she'd stagger and maybe cry and maybe fall down and need you to pick her up and do it again 100 times. It's the same skill. When you taught her to ride a bike and you had to let go of that bike and risk her falling down a little bit, but you knew if you stayed close and you kept showing her how to do it, eventually she would. You've done this as a mom 1,000 times. Don't let the voices out there that say, once you hit the teenage years, it's all chaos and crazy and you just can't do it and you're going to have a nervous breakdown. You've done this, Mama. You've got this, and you can do it again. So focus on asking those questions that are going to help her think about how to learn the skills herself. Not just saying, well, go figure it out for yourself. But saying, what do you think your next step is? Where can you find this information?
And as she gets better at it, then you can say, okay, honey, you can do this. I'll check back in 15 minutes. And you're slowly weaning her off of that. But the challenge for a lot of parents who are attached is because we haven't had a whole lot of models of what it looks like to stay attached in an appropriate way with into adolescence. You know, parents kind of make the mistake of thinking that because I had to do things, all things for my child when they were an infant, I'm going to keep doing that all the way through. And that you know, that's where you kind of get into some trouble. So the more you're weaning her off of that, making her think through this stuff on her own while you're there supporting her, and then weaning her off of that slowly, the more she'll feel confident in her ability to figure stuff out for herself. So you're on the right track. You laid down a good foundation. You just need to take this next step. We do talk through some additional tips for helping your daughter with her anxiety in our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com. And if we can do more to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program, Maria. Thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about moms on our show titled Momfidence. We want to help you be a more confident mom. So are there certain challenges you're facing that are getting in the way of the joy, the peace, and the reward that you get from being a mom? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's take a break. When we come back, more with your calls on More to Life.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, David Williams, in memory of Anna Williams Sutherland. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon her. Amen.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Momfidence, as we help moms develop more confidence on this Mother's Day weekend by giving you those tips to make momming a little easier and more joyful. Give us a call with your questions about getting more out of motherhood at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Catherine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina.
Hey, Catherine. Welcome to More to Life.
Hello. I have a question. It's really more of a, I'll start. I have three kids, grown kids in their 20s, and we do have joyful experiences, and I'm so proud of them. They have grown up to be very caring, productive citizens in our world. But the thing that I continue to pray about is none of them go to Mass. They don't go to church. I've worked for the church for 20 years as a campus minister, so I mean, I get it. I know where
heartbreaking
people are in the church now. But other than witnessing and praying about it, I don't know what to do. I have conversations and they're just, oh, we don't believe in organized religion, and you know, you kind of push Catholicism down our throat growing up, and you know, there's that rebellious, but they're very deep thinkers as well. So, you know, I don't want to push away kind of like my parents did.
Couple
parents
of questions. No, I get it. That's good. Yeah. Just a couple of quick questions here. Are you married?
I am not.
Okay. And all right.
Their dad is Protestant.
Okay. So are they, was religion kind of an issue in the household growing up then? Was it kind of a source of tension there?
Yeah, I think, at first it was, my husband then was Episcopalian, I was Catholic, but we brought them up in the faith, and, 90% of the time it was just me doing it.
Yeah, okay.
But
that's fine. I just wanted to know what the context was there.
Yeah,
and so when you talk with them about...
Sacraments.
I gotcha. Okay, so when you talk with them about their faith now... they just say things like, I don't believe in organized religion, or like, what's their relationship with God? Or what was their relationship with God even, in adolescence or, growing up?
Oh,
do you guys pray together as a family?
They have a relationship with God. They have a relationship with, with Christ. And
How do you know that, though?
I know. Well, in talking about it, and, we'll pray, and, they came home for Easter, and they did get a Mass with me, but it's not something they choose on their own. They feel that they can have a relationship outside of the church, and, I try to say, Christ called us to be in community. Christ formed the church, the early apostles, I'm a theology teacher, too, so I'm I try to talk to them more on their
All right.
way, but I also want them to know the truth.
So you're doing a lot of the right things, and it's going to have to take the long view in this, but I think that you're going to want to focus more on relationship here, their relationship with God and with the church more than the theology or the kind of the rules of you wanting them to go to church. Why? Okay, so when they say that they have this relationship with God, the problem is what's missing from that. Okay, is the relationship with the Eucharist. Right? What kind of relationship with God? They can have this relationship with God that's all sort of abstract and theoretical and, sort of in their heads, right? But they don't have that physical connection to God, where, as Catholics, God loves us so much that He makes us one with His flesh and His blood courses through our veins. You can't have that kind of relationship with God on your own. And that's the problem, right, with a lot of people who will fall away from the church, is that they really don't, I want to say the word believe, but I don't mean believe intellectually. I mean emotionally. They don't have the emotional connection with Jesus and the Eucharist. And that's what you want to be witnessing to, right? And when I say witnessing, I don't necessarily mean lecturing, right? I don't mean lecturing at all. I mean talking about your connection with God through the Eucharist and letting them see the difference that it's making in your life, right? Where they can look and say, Mom's faith, especially her experience of the Eucharist, makes a real difference in the strength that she has, in the joy that she has.
And the peace that she has.
That's right. And I want that, right? So the intellectual formation is there, and they're caring adults who have a heart for others, which is beautiful. You've done a good thing with all that. The piece that's missing for them is they don't have that connection to the Eucharist and understand the role that the Eucharist plays in a mature adult faith.
And I have to say that, unfortunately, any of us who are in any kind of ministry in the church have to double down on making sure that the business part of that is the business part of that, and our real relationship with Christ and our real relationship with our family is about relationship. And I've often seen many, many people who are like, well, Mom and Dad were into this in the church, or Mom and Dad were in two different churches and argued over this. They get lost in the idea of church as something that took something from them.
Yeah, and I will say, for other folks, okay, this doesn't apply as much to Catherine, but for other folks who are wondering, what can I do to get my adult children back home, the most important thing you can do, if you're married and your spouse is not in the same place as you in your faith, is agitate to get your spouse in the same place with you as the faith. Because the reality is, okay, when kids grow up in a household where faith is not shared between Mom and Dad, they see it as a wedge issue, and they see it as not something that helps them pull all the different threads of their life together, but as something that divides. And so they have a natural suspicion toward organized religion, because for them, it didn't actually help them make sense out of life. It was a source of confusion and sometimes division and conflict. So if you're married, okay, and you don't share the faith with your spouse, and you want to make sure that your kids are faithful when they grow up, make that your number one issue working on your relationship with your spouse. Because even if they're grown and out of the house, that's what's going to ultimately get them to see, oh, wow, look, you know, this was a source of unity and a source of intimacy in my parents' life, and I want that for myself. And that's why I see that organized religion is playing this beautiful role in my parents' life. I want that.
But since you don't have that going on in your life, but your kids did experience at least a little bit of that between their parents, I really would work wholeheartedly on your relationship with these three kiddos and being there and being loving and developing that relationship, because you want to be in a place where they feel like they can trust you, that they want to be with you, that there's a good rapport and love between you, because you know what? Wherever somebody wants you to go, you're only going to go as far as you feel comfortable with that person. So if somebody says to me, you know, I want you to go, well, let's do this. If I go to a house, right, I'm not going to go to a stranger's house. That's terrifying. You don't do that. It's not prudent. But if I'm going to my best friend's house, I'm going to feel comfortable. I'm going to feel welcomed. I'm going to want to be with that person. You're asking them to go to a house, the church, that they're not feeling like their best friend is in. But if my best friend wants me to meet one of their best friends, I'm way more likely to go because my best friend is going to that person's house or that person's gathering. You need to be in rapport with your kids. You need to work on a relationship where they know they're loved, they feel comforted in your presence, and they trust in your guidance and your discipleship of them. So start there. Start really working on that new relationship now that they're in their 20s, because it is a new relationship.
And praying with them about these kinds of, when they bring you different concerns, don't just talk about it with them. You know, say, you know what, I don't know what to say about that, but let's bring it to God. Or, that's wonderful news, let's bring that to God. And just bring God into your conversations with them. The closer they can draw to God and to you, the more open that they're going to be to church as well. Again, you did a lot of good stuff here. They're good people. You're proud of them, and they're caring adults. We just need to fill in these last couple of blanks here. And if there's more that we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to give us a holler. God bless. We only have a couple minutes left, but let's go to Holly, who's listening in Toledo. Holly, welcome to More to Life. What's up? Is Holly there? Hey.
Oh, she's there.
Hi, Holly. What's up? I heard some kids in the background, but I can't hear her.
And I'll tell you why. Do we have you, Holly? Because I'm hearing kids again.
No, I wish
we could get.
Well, she has a question about self-care. How can moms take care of themselves, especially when they've got a lot of kiddos and a lot of responsibilities?
She's watching a lot of other people's kids and her own. What the heck does she do with the chaos?
So the most important thing here, Holly, is really recognizing, okay, that it's not a choice. It really is not a choice between your needs and everybody else's needs. I know it sounds like it is, and it sounds crazy for me to say that. You know, who are you? We have a tendency to think that, oh, well, you know, everybody needs so much from me that my needs have to be neglected. And that's where you start getting into trouble. It's a question of how can I meet my needs, or how can I meet their needs, in a way that allows me to take care of myself as well. How can I be able to attend to others but make sure that I'm pacing myself, that I'm asking for help, in fact that I'm insisting that there are certain things I can't do unless I get a certain amount of help from the people around me. You know, we get into real trouble when we say, I'm going to somehow magically have all the energy I need to give all the people everything they ask from me, instead of being able to say, well, look, you know, here's what I'm able to do on my own, and here's what I could do with X, Y, or Z support from you.
Yes, and that also includes these little kids that are in your house. Are you scheduling in times of the day where all of these little ones pick up toys and put them in baskets while all of them learn to take their plates to the sink? You need to develop a rhythm where even during the course of a day they all have some quiet time. Even if they're not sleeping, you get to sit on a couch or a chair and relax a little bit while they lay down and listen to a book or have some quiet time doing something. But it's about developing a rhythm in your day where they know they're accountable for being part of all that.
That's an excellent point, because when we take care of a lot of kids, especially little kids, we have a tendency to think that it's a one-way street.
Mm-hmm.
We are just taking care of them. But, you know, even the littlest kid can pick up a plate and put it in the dishwasher. Even the littlest kid can follow you around with a dustcloth and at least, you know, pretend to help.
Any help is help.
As much as they can give back, asking them to give that back, that's an important part of building that connection as well. So you're taking care of them, but teaching them how to take care of others and you in the process. So ask yourself, how can I attend to these other people's needs in a way that also attends to mine, instead of making it an either-or choice? That's all the time we've got for today's program. If there's more we can do to support you in living a more joyful or abundant life, check out the resources we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com, including learning about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your life and relationships. All there at CatholicCounselors.com. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.